We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Welcome to the Solid Verbal.
The Solid Verbal.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
I've heard so many players say, well, I want to be happy. You want to be happy for a day? Eat a steak.
It's that woo woo!
And now, Dan and Ty.
Welcome back to the Solid Verbal, boys and girls. My name is Ty Hildenbrand, that guy over there, Dan Rubenstein, and it is Cinco de Mayo. Daniel, how are you?
I'm great. Always love Cinco de Mayo. Always, I never need a reason to eat delicious food or celebrate the Mexican army's battle over the French in 1862 and the Battle of Puebla, as we all know and have come to understand.
Sure.
By the way, have had friends spend time in Puebla, the state of Puebla. I believe it's a state. Loved it.
Yeah?
Loved it. Yeah. I mean, that's where Poblano, if you are Poblana, if you are from Puebla, that's what you are known as, or Poblano peppers. So... always happy with Cinco de Mayo. Usually it's a warm time of year. So happy we get to talk about Grammerts or whatever we're doing today. So yeah, always thrilled.
Around here, we used to go to a party in the parking lot of the local Chili's.
Okay.
The authentic Cinco de Mayo experience in the Lehigh Valley of Eastern Pennsylvania. I've since outgrown that. I don't do that. I haven't done that in a long time, but.
Okay.
The true Cinco de Mayo experience here in my neck of the woods is that's about as good as we can do.
Chili's is the best Mexican food you
can
get.
No, it's not the best Mexican food, but that was the best Cinco de Mayo Mexican party.
Oh, okay. Do you have a Mexican place that you like?
I have a number of Mexican places that I like, yeah.
All right. Do you have a set order?
Not really, no.
Okay.
No. And I should point out that you and I will be together in New
That's
York
true.
City on Cinco de Mayo, as this comes out, we're recording this a little earlier
man.
In the week. You and I will be in the same place at the same time during Cinco de Mayo.
The lines at Los Tacos number one, the lines at Casa Enrique, all of the best that New York has to offer in the way of Mexican food could be pretty strong. Okay, good to know.
Good to know. Well, welcome back into the Solid Verbal. I'm Ty, he's Dan. Thank you so much for downloading, for listening, for playing along at home. This show, all of our shows, brought to you by our good friends over at Geico. You can also subscribe to the show if you haven't already. Please do so. Apple, Spotify, whatever it is that you're into, you can catch us. We are the Solid Verbal. 2 episodes per week. Unless you are a subscriber on Patreon out there at verballers.com, where you get access to the Brew and A, which we do every week as a bonus show. We're also deep in negotiations planning an off-topic episode on pizza.
Yes,
on
of course.
Pizza.
Of
it will
course.
Be happening within a matter of weeks.
Do you think that you can bring opinions, thoughtful questions, advanced ways of thinking about pizza in the way that I felt I brought some unique perspective and energy to our space show and our telescope show?
My role in that show as the host, or as a host, will be to bring it as down to earth as possible, because most people aren't as in the weeds with their pizza making.
Right. Of course
not. So I want to talk to our guest of honor, who will be unveiled later, about how do you, as a normal person that enjoys pizza, rate a local pizzeria?
Sure.
What should we look for? That I want to bring it down to that level.
Okay.
For us salt of the earth types who aren't really as in the weeds on all things pizza, look, ovens and flour and percentages with yeast and all sorts of weird stuff.
You don't want to talk endosperm?
No, I don't actually. No.
What?
I don't.
You don't want to talk naturally occurring fungi and bacteria in the air?
I do want to talk a little bit about that.
Okay, good.
Do you want to talk a little bit about that? But
all right, fair enough.
Anyway, you can get access, like a pet. Get access to all that stuff at verballers.com.
Yes.
And last but not least, solidgiveaway.com. Talked about it on the last show, but Frank Beamer, signed mini helmet, got till the end of the month. Get your name in the hat.
The best.
All you got to do is check a couple boxes, really. It's a few free and easy
steps.
Real
easy. Yep.
Yeah.
Who are we talking about today? What are we doing today?
Today's a continuation of the show we dropped on Tuesday. On Tuesday, we talked about,
what's blurry, puddle of mud, and what's coming into focus.
Talk about what's blurry, what's in focus post-spring games. And on the last show, we've been doing this for a couple weeks running now, a couple episodes running at least. Last episode, we talked about Alabama, about Florida, Ohio State, Virginia Tech, and Michigan State.
Yes.
On today's show, Georgia, Tennessee, Wisconsin, the Badgers.
Badgers.
Washington, the Huskies, and UNC, the Tar Heels.
Yeah.
Those are our five teams. So, with all that being said, why don't we start with the defending champion, Georgia Bulldogs?
Let's.
Why don't we start with Georgia Bulldogs? Georgia Bulldogs broke their championship drought by knocking off Alabama, right?
Correct. I can confirm. Yeah. Kelly Ringo at the horn with the pick six. He's back, by the way, in a secondary that's missing some key guys from last year's run, but still has a lot of experience back there. There's a lot of experience for Georgia in general, even with the cavalry that got drafted from Georgia.
They broke an NFL record. 15 guys.
Unbelievable. Yeah.
Were drafted. So for as long as it has been a 7-round draft as opposed to like a 12-round draft.
Yep.
Georgia is now the record holder with 15 guys drafted in all 7 rounds, which is remarkable, incredible. A bunch of guys went in the first round. It was like 5 guys went in the first round. Whatever it was.
Right.
A lot of guys from this defense especially went. And I think if you are trying to figure out what's Georgia look like in 2022, you got to start there. You got to start there. It has to be a little bit blurry, even though we know recruiting's been very, very strong.
Yeah, the blurriness is going to come from a number of different places, maybe the inside of their offensive line, perhaps, you know, without James Cook and Zamir White carrying the load in the backfield, but Kendall Milton's there. We'll see with Kenny McIntosh, who was just arrested for reckless driving, but, you know, they have guys. They constantly have guys all over the place. So they lose Jermaine Burton, one of their biggest weapons on the outside, but, you know, whether it's Dominic Blaylock emerging after injury, Karis Jackson, there are guys out wide for Stetson Bennett, which is a nice place to be, right? That Georgia's recruited so well that there's just guys who will step in. Kendall Milton was a former 5-star. He's been working out more not at receiver, but in the pass game, and he had a nice longer catch in the spring game. And you got Brock Bowers, you have Darnell Washington, now Eric Gilbert. Like, there are just a ton of red zone options, a ton of 3rd-and-7 options. And even if they don't have a game changer deep in the way that, you know, at his best, George Pickens was when healthy, George is going to be in a pretty great place on offense, all things considered, with the continuity that's still there. But you mentioned the defensive stuff because of just the cavalcade of names that made their way to the NFL this past weekend as we record this a few days ago. Jalen Carter still on that defensive line on the inside and will still dominate. Nolan Smith was the number one overall recruit, I believe, in 2018. He decided to come back for his 4th, 5th year, whatever the year is. He's been around for a while and hasn't necessarily popped in the way that he was expected, but has a good amount of experience. Chris Smith in the back of that defense. So we'll see at linebacker, but it's one of those things too, Ty, that, and we know this better than anybody, not better than anybody, but as much as anybody, when you beat teams 44-7, those backups get a ton of snaps in those second halves. And when you're winning comfortable games and you rotate guys in as much as Georgia did on that defense last year, and that's, you know, Will Muschamp and Kirby Smart, Dan Lanning was the coordinator last year. Glenn Schumann was a co-defensive coordinator. He assumes a bigger role with Lanning off to Oregon. These guys aren't full-time 2021 starters, but the guys who are stepping into those roles are not green. So it's really hard to look at Georgia and say, man, there are some huge questions. They're in good shape, Ty. Yeah. They're fine. Yeah. So that's where Georgia stands essentially at the moment, that like if they can get some more action out wide to take some of the tension away from the tight end room, they'll be in a good position. And even if they don't, like, Stetson Bennett's still probably going to scramble for a bunch of third.
Well, and I was going to say, you know, you didn't even mention Stetson Bennett's name.
Right, totally.
A moment ago.
Yeah.
And I think so much of the conversation will be around him coming back.
Yep.
Defending that title as part of the Georgia Bulldogs as a starting quarterback. But, you know, it's so much more than just Stetson Bennett on this Georgia team. There's a moment in time where Stetson Bennett as a quarterback of this team would not have been good enough. Where you needed somebody who could perhaps do more physically, do more as a quarterback in general. But this team is so good around him, especially on the defensive side of the ball, regardless of the names that walked out the door. Maybe there'll be a minor step backwards.
Right.
This team is so good beyond Stetson Bennett that clearly they are the favorites to win the SEC East again, maybe the SEC in general. Yeah. And you have to feel really good about where they're at. It's been a great time to be a dog. Great time.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they didn't win the SEC last year, so
no.
It'll be a nice change, even though they won the national championship. No, they're going to be very strong. And the fact that the continuity exists, even with Dan Lanning going to Oregon, it's a terrific sign for this Georgia team. And by the way, if for whatever reason, if Bennett gets hurt, hope he doesn't, knock on wood. If he doesn't perform, if there's still the afterglow of winning a national championship as like a longtime Georgia fan, Carson Beck, Brock Vandegrift, blue chip quarterbacks behind him waiting in the wings. So we'll see. And now Eric Gilbert added to the mix as, you know, as he gets back into shape, as, you know, he was a 5-star tight end coming out of high school, transfers into Georgia from LSU. There's every opportunity to succeed on an even bigger level for this offense.
So but not a lot blurry through the eye of Dan Rubenstein.
Not a ton blurry. If a team forces them to have winter wonders outside, whoever that team is, if it's somebody before Alabama, that could be interesting to keep safeties back and stretch the field. That to me is the one open question that I'm like, I don't know. Is it Karis Jackson? I don't know. But beyond that, no, they're fine.
Beyond that, they're fine. They still got Brock Bowers. Brock Bowers caught a lot of balls.
Didn't play during spring. Yeah. But yeah, he'll be great. Best tight end in the country.
Why don't we stay in the SEC East?
Okay.
Why don't we talk about Tennessee?
Okay.
Let's talk about the Vols.
Can't wait.
This is a weird setup for the Vols.
Yeah.
So they're doing construction on Neyland Stadium right now.
Okay.
Doing construction. And because of that, they move the whole spring ordeal, whatever it is we're calling this, over to the practice facility. It was open to the public, but it didn't quite have the same luster.
Of course.
The media was there, reported on it, what have you, but there were no official stats. I found some bootleg stats from the guys over at RockyTopInsider.com. We'll give them a shout
out. Love it.
All right. So I found some general stats. It was some dude just doing his best to keep track of it. Hendon Hooker was 8-for-8, and he had a touchdown.
Mm-hmm.
So that's good. He's clearly going to be the focal point of this offense. But the big story going into this game is that the Vols are without a lot of guys. I mean, a lot of guys. You know the names like Jabari Small, Cedric Tillman, and Cooper Mays. Those guys, real contributors to this team who weren't playing in this game. But there were a multitude of others, especially guys from the secondary, other guys who are recovering from injury, trying to get to 100% by fall. Nobody wants to risk it with those guys, right? Like, what's the point?
Non-spring, yep.
What's the point? So this was clearly a skeleton crew to some extent for the Vols. Because so many guys were out, it's just hard to say anything for sure with what we saw. I can tell you the line had a rough day. Nobody liked the offensive line, but literally nobody, none of these teams that we've talked about for the last 3 weeks has liked what they saw from their offensive line. None of them. They all hated it. So how much can we read into that? Zero. For those of you watching the video, I've got a goose egg here that I'm holding up to the camera.
Yep.
So the defense had a ton of sacks, a ton of pressures. We don't know if it's because they're mobile, agile, hostile, or because the line just was depleted.
Right.
I don't know. I can tell you, in that same vein, Tennessee allowed a lot of sacks last year.
They did.
They allowed a lot of sacks last year.
Sack rate, 121st nationally.
That's not good.
No.
And so if you're a Vols fan, if you read the reports that there were, the line looked bad, there were a lot of sacks and pressures in this game, you don't come away feeling great about that. I just don't know if we can base anything on it. It's a spring game. There are a lot of guys out.
Right.
I don't know what to make of that. I don't know what to make of that. It's going to remain blurry going into the season.
Got you. Of course. Of course.
I appreciate that. Thank you, Dave.
Yep.
You can draw a straight line from the bad line play to two other things that we saw in this game that I think are aberrations.
Okay.
If you follow my train of thought, I'm saying that I think the blurry part's sort of in focus, but I'm not sure. I'm getting lost in the metaphor of it all. But two things that I found here. In 20 drives, Tennessee scored just 3 touchdowns. They went 3 and out 9 times, which isn't great. And they had 3 turnovers, which also isn't good. Those 3 turnovers led to back-to-back-to-back defensive scores, for whatever that's worth. I believe both of those to be an aberration. This is not really a problem for Tennessee last year on either front. I think they're fine. I just think that for sure is in focus. That is in due part to guys being out. But yeah, there were a lot of rough spots out there. And it's got to be in large part because of the manpower. Alante Taylor also got drafted in the second round.
Mm-hmm.
The cornerback. And so with so many guys, the secondary out, it was also kind of impossible to figure out what the defensive backfield is going to look like. That's still blurry. Right. I know that's an area of concern. They've talked about that as well, what they're going to do defensively in the backfield, stopping the pass. This was a better than expected defense a year ago, but that
it was fine.
But that's an area where they got to improve, and especially now that they lose some key contributors.
Yeah, against the pass is the big question. On passing downs, it was where they folded a little bit too much. But it's here too. It's Tim Banks, right, who was at Penn State forever for an extended period of time running the defense. So. Yeah, they know the problems. He's a good coach, and I expect them to improve from below average to decent against the pass, because I really do think, and it's nothing to do with the offensive line, I think the pass rush is going to improve, and so that just alone should be enough to get them to a new place against the pass.
I think Tennessee's in a good place.
Yeah.
I really do. I know this team is not without questions. I hope we highlighted a couple of them here. My larger point is that you can't take anything away from the spring game.
No.
You can't take anything away from the spring game.
How long has Hendon Hooker been a college football player? I'm pretty sure Mark Helfrich recruited Hendon Hooker to Oregon. That's not a joke. I'm pretty sure it's been that long.
There are a lot of guys coming into the season. If last year was the story of, to some extent, guys with a ton of experience coming back to play more because of the COVID year. Yep. This year, there's even more experience, especially at quarterback. There are a lot of really experienced quarterbacks around college football that we're going to see.
Yeah. By the way, shout out Bailey Zappi getting drafted by the Patriots.
Fourth round. Yeah. Fourth round. Went before Sam Howell. Good for him.
Stayed away for the toppers. Yeah. All right. Cool. Yeah. You're totally right.
Okay. It's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Who do you want to go to next?
Next up, why don't we go to your favorite team?
My favorite team?
The Washington Huskies.
Yeah? There's not much to talk about with Washington. Actually, there's a ton to talk about with Washington. They're kind of fascinating in their own way because this was a playoff team, what, 6 years ago? Five, 6 years ago?
Yeah.
And with Chris Peterson's retirement, Jimmy Lake not working out in Seattle, hiring Kalen DeBoer, he brings in some Fresno State guys. So I would imagine there's enthusiasm. A lot of people have a lot of positive things to say about Kalen DeBoer and his early activity in Seattle. They've had to navigate a lot of portal stuff, losing a bunch of guys on both sides of the ball, but retain some key offensive players, bring in some new key offensive players. You know, Michael Penix probably being the most well-known of those, given his ties to Kalen DeBoer at Indiana. He showed out somewhat in the spring game. I saw he threw a couple picks, but I'm not terribly, terribly concerned. He threw some good balls. But it's a look, you have Penix, you have Dylan Morris, who has started a good number of games for Washington, and you have Sam Heward, who is the, you know, he's a five-star legacy quarterback for Washington, who was finally pressed into action at the end of last season. I think he threw four picks in the Apple Cup. And
yeah,
look, it was just a nightmare. It was a nightmare of a season for everybody at Washington. And the big question to me is they've had a really strong offensive line these past 2-3 years, but a lot of turnover there. What does the rush game look like? You know, a bunch of new faces. You know, Jalen McMillan back, one of the more promising receivers in a group that has seen a lot of attrition. They lost a couple key guys up front, Jackson Sermon at linebacker. They lose, I think it was a starting defensive lineman to Oregon, Sam Taimini. And so they've got this history of developing guys on defense. ZTF is back on the edge. But, you know, it's Trent McDuffie and Kyler Gordon, who both get drafted at corner for Washington. Yeah. So where they are right now is, do they have guys on either side of the ball? And the quarterback's the biggest question. Do they have guys who at least have dude potential? Is there a system that's going to be set up? In the Pac-12, there's a lot of change right now. And, you know, the ZTF flashed a couple years ago in the COVID season. But beyond that, there's not a lot of guys who are like, okay, this guy is set to dominate, or this guy is set to break out. Somebody might, but it's not a great time right now.
Are you saying that there's a problem at Washington?
There might be a problem at Washington at the moment. And so I think the defensive line will be okay. I just think they're thin kind of everywhere. There's been a lot of attrition there. You give Kalen DeBoer time to build the program back up, build the culture back up, as you mentioned with Florida, that like you're starting from the studs.
Are they going to be bringing back any of the old Lettermen?
Oh, Ty. Always got to welcome back the alumni with open arms. Set the tone by welcoming the guys that built it.
Bring in
back
Bruce
into
Smith
the fold.
Just for the hell
gotta
of it.
Bring in Bruce Smith.
Yeah.
You gotta welcome Bruce Smith back with open arms. Always, always, always. So yeah, Washington has an uphill battle, especially with Oregon and USC having the juice that they do on the recruiting trail and the recent success that they've had. But it's still a Pac-12 where, look, you've got Utah dominating, the Arizona schools either a ways away, UCLA seeming uneven, Cal and Stanford kind of fading, Washington State themselves with the new full-time head coach and Jackson Dart. Like, there's a lot of just be competent and win games on the Washington schedule. So I'm not down on Washington. I just want to see a quarterback emerge who can throw 20 touchdowns to 6 or 7 picks or something like that and not and be more of a force than anybody can be in a John Donovan offense.
Yeah. Well, we'll see, right? I mean, this was...
And maybe Michael Penix stay healthy. I don't know. Just basic stuff like that.
We talked about it earlier in the offseason, but this was truly one of those half-team situations where the defense was pretty good. It wasn't a shutdown defense, but the defense was good enough to keep the offense in games and did so in a lot of cases. The offense was putrid.
Right.
The offense was putrid. And we should have known from day one. We should have known when they lost to Montana in week one that offense was going to be this big of a problem. We didn't. It was week one. And I remember going into that Michigan game, the road tilt against Michigan. We talked to our friend Tim Murray. I hope Tim doesn't mind me calling him out.
Please.
But he and I were in the same boat. We're like, oh, wow, that was an aberration. Washington's still pretty good.
Right.
They should be solid. Folks were really going in on Washington ahead of that game. And they lost by 21 on the road at Michigan. That game was not even close. They were so bad at stopping the run. That was their one ward on defense. Decent enough defense.
Yeah.
But when you went up against a team like Michigan that could really run the rock, that was a problem.
Yeah, you couldn't really throw on Washington all that well. The pass rush wasn't crazy good, but the guys in the secondary were nails.
They're secondary great. Was so good.
Yeah.
So Kalen DeBoer's got his work cut out for him going into this season. And like you said, with so much change in the Pac-12, the opportunity is there to be competent and be successful and still win like eight games. But
sure.
There are more questions than answers.
I wonder what kind of juice is behind the Washington program. This is like an inflection point. This is a juice inflection point for a lot of programs who look at themselves as a program who should, at their best, win 10-plus games, which Washington has done at their best in the last decade. Inflection point as it relates to NIL and collectives and modernizing. Washington is in the same region of the country as Oregon, in the same conference as USC. Both Oregon and USC, and Utah, just because of their winning ways, have juice within the conference. Does Washington want to do what it takes? Because Washington is a state with a lot of talent. Like, there's a good amount of talent in the state of Washington. It's an underrated state in terms of producing guys. They can't keep any of them home. What is Washington doing? Are they a serious program willing to spend money, looking to whip up its donor base into a frenzy? And I could see them, if they're not, you know, chips to the middle of the table, being sort of left behind as a decent program, but one that's not serious. I wonder. That's all.
If Washington gets left behind, and here's sort of my question about this.
Yeah.
Who steps up to fill that void in the Pac-12?
Eastern Washington. Oh.
It feels like there are a lot of teams outside of Oregon. It feels like there are a lot of teams that kind of could fall into that same category in the Pac-12. That's part of what makes it so interesting right now.
I mean, if I had to guess in terms of who is like seeming to be aggressive in this way, Arizona, like just in the way that they're hitting the portal, in the way that they're hitting the recruiting trail, that isn't, I mean, Washington is in a much better place as a program than Arizona, but I don't think it's Cal or Stanford. Oregon State, I think, is going to be dangerous-ish, but I don't think they're fully committed and have the money and the sort of infrastructure to do it, resources. So it's not Colorado. It doesn't seem like it's UCLA. Maybe it is, but I don't know. It just seems like they're happy to hit a bit of a ceiling. So my guess is Arizona, but I just don't think it's going to exist. I think it's just right now it's a three-horse situation in Utah, USC, and Oregon.
Yeah, that's interesting. That's interesting. I mean, I like the hire of Kalen DeBoer.
As do I.
We know that he's really strong offensively. And this was a team that was anything but in 2021. In and of itself, like that point alone, I think should give fans some optimism. But there are a lot of questions to go around here. A lot of questions to go around about this team. A lot of it is blurry.
Yeah, completely blurry. And just, I don't know. It doesn't seem like there's a lot of energy around the program right now. As much as I do like that hire, is Washington in or out? That's all.
Let's talk about UNC.
Yeah.
Let's go back across our great land here to Chapel Hill, North Carolina. Mack Brown finds himself in a very interesting spot now. North Carolina had four guys drafted from its offense, including Sam Howell, who went a lot lower. I think Sam Howell went, fifth round?
Yep.
Fifth round pick, Sam Howell. Went a lot lower than expected like a year ago when folks were talking him up as potentially the first overall pick. Mm-hmm. It did not happen. Sam Howell does get drafted, as do a couple other guys off that offense. And Mac Brown is now in the unenviable spot where he needs to replace a guy who was a three-year starter. You lose a guy like that, and the replacement situation is always a little blurry. And I hate to be too cliche with my analysis here, but that's really where we're at with North Carolina. The question of that quarterback spot, I think, is going to dictate a lot. Off the bat, it's a two-man race. It's going to be a two-man race. Two men in this case are Jacoby Criswell and Drake May.
Yep. Each Luke of May's little brother, right?
That's correct.
Yeah.
Each of them a little different. Criswell's a junior, and his comp coming out of high school was Sam Howell, which is sort of weird.
Yeah.
Drake May, redshirt freshman, legacy kid. His comp was Sam Bradford. So we got two four-star kids here, both of which, at least at time of recruiting, had pretty good upside. And we'll see. I don't know if we can really gauge one way or the other who's got the edge. Criswell had more moments in the spring game. He connected better with Josh Downs, who is still kind of on autopilot and awesome.
Yeah, it's just a breakout, ridiculous talent.
Yeah, and he's incredible. So maybe that's going to be as good as it gets right now in spring for us to just say that Criswell connected better with Josh Downs, and Josh Downs is going to be really good. But I don't know. You know, they didn't really give too much away with respect to where things go on that side of the ball, especially with their quarterback position. It's an open question at who's starting at quarterback. Running back seems like it's set. We know about Josh Downs. Defensively, a lot of guys were out. I think another talking point as we get closer to the season will be that Gene Chizik is now the new defensive coordinator. To my knowledge, still has not grown sideburns.
No.
Curious to see what the defense looks like. Tony Grimes is a name at cornerback. I've seen his name thrown about as a potential first-round draft pick coming up next year in the 2023 draft. Cornerback. Yep. They need to get more out of him. He's good. He's got talent, but they need to get more out of him. So a lot in flux, frankly, for North Carolina. It wasn't a great campaign last year. They had lost a ton from the previous year's team, you'll recall, on offense. Like four big-time contributors at wideout, at running back.
Right.
All those guys go pro. And Sam Howell is sort of there on his own island. Did admirably to the best of his ability, but it just wasn't enough. So I'm going to say this. I believe there is talent there, but I feel like whenever you lose that veteran quarterback, a lot more than just quarterback is blurry.
Okay, so this past year, the class of 22 was 11th nationally, 14th the year before that, and it looks like 14th as well in 2020. So we've now strung together three top 15 classes, including a good amount of blue chip defensive talent. That's what recruiting's for. At a certain point, you can't say, we keep losing a lot of guys. Okay. That's what recruiting's for. That's what the portal's for. And so I don't think Mac Brown is necessarily on the hot seat, but they shouldn't be fielding, you know, the number 97, the number 104 ranked defense, given what they've been able to do in terms of talent acquisition. So I think we got to start asking some questions. And is Gene Chizik the dude to get them a top 40 defense? Probably
not. So Gene Chizik was there a couple years ago, and he's now come back officially 16. As the defensive coordinator. So it's a second tour of duty.
Yeah.
Is he the answer?
He got them from bad to okay-ish once, but is that good enough when you recruit top 15 classes three straight years? I don't know.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. Talent is there, but the assembly, the construction of this roster, I think, is very much in flux. And in the void of not having a lot of information out there on North Carolina, it's just not there, Dan.
Right.
It's hard to really say one way or the other what's in focus, what's not. We know some of the names, but that's about it.
All right. Fair enough. Where do you want to go next?
Why don't we close out this spring snapshot conversation by talking about the Wisconsin Badgers, Dan?
The Badgers.
I am fascinated by Wisconsin. I am fascinated because you'll recall for a hot minute, we did a video that we posted on YouTube that people didn't like about Caleb Williams potentially going to Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Can you imagine what that would have been like in our neck of the woods if Wisconsin landed him?
Well, I would have hoped they would have also landed Mario Williams and Jordan Addison, because there's a lot about the Wisconsin offense. And look, every year we're going to get the same, well, maybe about a receiver room that seems to have guys who are just not that great at getting open and catching passes downfield. It's a new offensive coordinator, Bobby Engram, as mentioned. Is it, you know, I think it's Chimray Dike and Skylar Bell, two of the guys that are like the newish guys. Jake Ferguson's gone, who was that dependable dude for Graham Mertz at tight end. You know, the running back room is thinner, but it's Braylon Allen's job. He's a big dude who should, you know, be a 1,000-yard rusher behind a pretty experienced offensive line. Just the questions remain, the blurriness of the passing game, and Graham Mertz, like, he's unquestionably the guy. Is that a good thing? I don't know. I just don't know. I'm confident in this defense. They lost key, you know, Jack Sanborn's gone at linebacker. They lose key dudes at linebacker. But it's Jim Leonard defense. They've recruited and developed. They're going to be dudes. You know, there's a couple of big pieces missing from last year on the defensive line. But they're confident in guys that are going to step up who had rotation time. You know, we'll see in the secondary. But it's been a strength under Jim Leonard, understandably so, given his background coaching safety. So the question remains is how do they start the season after, you know, having nightmare games against Michigan and Notre Dame pretty early on last year? And if they need to score 31 points to win a game, is that reasonable to expect from a team with now a quarterback who has started for years and years, who came in with a good amount of hype? I don't know if it's fair. I mean, they won, what, 7 straight after losing the games that they lost last year. They lose, I don't know if you have their schedule in front of me. I think it was Minnesota they lose comfortably to, and that kept them out of the Big Ten championship game. But no, the blurriness is, you know, the quest for 31, however we want to say it. I don't know. I think we're just seeing more of the same, unless Bobby Engram is a wizard, which maybe he is.
Well, that's my question.
But you still got to hit receivers in stride, and Bobby Engram can only do so much.
That's my question.
Yeah.
My question for Wisconsin is, what can we do / what will they do?
Right.
To make this team feel different from all the Wisconsin teams of years past. They right. all kind of feel the same. There's a Groundhog Day quality to Wisconsin, in that they want to beat your brains in running the football. They want to have great line play. They're going to play action. They're going to have a sound defense, and they're going to grind it out, and they're going to beat you.
Right.
And that's been a pretty successful formula to get to 9-10 wins, especially in the Big Ten West. But I think Wisconsin, at least the Wisconsin fans that listen to this show, are hungry for more. Enough already. Let's get over this hump. Now, here's what's interesting if you look at the schedule this coming year. Wisconsin goes on the road to square off against Ohio State, Michigan State, Iowa, and Nebraska. That's not the easiest road schedule in the Big Ten. They don't have to play Penn State. They don't have to play Michigan during the regular season. That's good. But that's not the easiest road schedule. They also start off the year against Washington State. Who knows what to make of that? It's in Camp Randall.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But I guess that's their second game of the year, not counting Illinois State Labor Day weekend. But all I'm saying is I kind of feel like we're at a bit of a juice inflection point with Wisconsin.
Ooh,
well.
I think you're right.
You know, if we want to talk about Washington, excuse me.
Yeah.
We should also talk a little bit about Wisconsin. These are programs in different spots. I don't think Paul Chryst is in any danger of losing his gig, but I know from the people that listen to this show who comment on the Badgers, they are hungry for that next level. If not now, when? Got a great young running back. Talent is always seemingly there along the lines. We've got a quarterback who, I remember when Graham Mertz came to his first game when he threw however many 5 touchdowns, whatever the heck it was, against Illinois.
Yeah, up the middle to the tight end over and over, yeah.
I remember that all too well. And that dream has yet to fully be realized.
Yeah, well, he immediately got COVID after that game.
Immediately got COVID, doesn't help.
Yeah.
But we still have not seen that level of potential from him. So I don't know. Like, when is this thing finally going to break out? When is Wisconsin finally going to live up to the hype of being this juggernaut in the Big Ten West that could potentially contend in a real way against Ohio State, whoever, from the East?
Look, it's 13 points a game in their 4 losses. Penn State, Michigan, Notre Dame, and Minnesota. 13 points a game. Just yeah, to be plainly obvious, it's nowhere near good enough in a losing effort that you can point to the pick sixes, you can point to the stalling, you can point to the red zone, you can point to any number of issues.
Yeah.
But it's that this offense, to the good teams, to the better teams in the conference, has become pretty predictable and obvious. And so, I don't know. I hope it is that Bobby Engram adds something to the DNA of Wisconsin, but I don't know how dramatic it can be. And they could still win 10 games, and we could still be having this conversation. So
they could win 10 games in the schedule, for sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
So good place to be, that you are leaving a lot on the table, and still, I mean, it's sort of the Big Ten West way, where despite glaring issues, you can win a ton.
Dan, those are our teams here.
Okay.
For our spring snapshots. Again, for folks listening to this on Thursday, we recorded this earlier in the week. At present, on Cinco de Mayo, Dan and I are in the same location. And
correct,
we're going to be recording our Bruinet in person on Friday. So you can go on outtheverballers.com if you want to hear that. Sort of like our homecoming of sorts. We're going back to New York. Is this the first time you've been back to New York since COVID?
First time back.
Yeah.
I have a number of places I want to eat at and neighborhoods and friends I'd like to see. I'm there for work. We have some stuff to do behind the scenes, but it's my first time back. I'm quite excited. It looks like the weather will be decent. So, you know, the circumstances with which we left were obviously quite strange at the beginning of COVID.
Yeah.
But yeah, I identify as somebody who loved my time in New York for about 8 years. So I'm pumped. I'm pumped to see you for the first time in a couple of years. I'm going to give you a big awkward hug. Man, just get on the train.
Oh, yeah. Ich bin ein New Yorker for like the next couple days.
Yeah, it'll be great. I cannot wait to see you for the first time, because we saw each other right before COVID in
New
York.
Before COVID, around the time I was
Korean
convinced
barbecue.
I had it. Remember that?
Yes,
I was convinced.
Correct.
I'm still convinced I had it, but...
Yeah,
we saw it right as this whole thing was kicking up, and we were on the train, and there was a guy coughing his lungs out.
Correct.
I remember just sort of looking and inching away from him.
Oh, man.
Unsure of where things were at in the world at that time.
Simpler times.
Much simpler times. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, look, that does it for today's show. A little bit shorter, but we did want to get these five teams out of the way.
Yes.
Don't forget to go on out to verballers.com if you want to catch that show that Dan and I are going to record in person. If that's not your thing, it's not your thing. We're not offended. Perfectly fine. Go on out. Just make sure you subscribe to the show. Apple.
That'd be great.
Spotify. Wherever it is you get your podcasts, please don't forget to go on out there and hit follow or subscribe, whatever the nomenclature is these days. If you are out there on Spotify, please do review. And by review, I mean rate.
Yes.
Hit the 5 stars. That's helpful. We'd appreciate that. SolidGiveaway.com is where you can enter for your chance to win that Frank Beamer mini helmet. Talked about Virginia Tech on the last show. You got until the end of the month. It's a cool helmet. I have it downstairs.
Yeah.
Like the white Virginia Tech look. You know what I mean?
I love it.
Yeah, it's super cool. Going out, solidgiveaway.com. It's free. It's easy. It's quick. You can enter for your chance to win that Frank Beamer signed mini helmet. We will be back publicly, that is, on Tuesday of next week. Are we going to do a 5-7 show? Is that the plan?
Yeah, why not?
It'll be after 5-7, but it's fine.
That's okay.
We'll do our 5-7 show as we've been going through looking at teams with records that are similar enough to the current date.
I've got a very strange idea for a spring show as enter into a specific, I texted you about it, a very specific part of the entertainment calendar.
Yeah, I noticed that.
As the weather gets warmer.
I think I'm into that. I mean,
I'm
no idea is off limits at this point. It's May.
Yeah, that's all.
For that guy over there, my good friend Dan Rubenstein, for myself, Ty Hildenbrand, thank you so much for downloading, listening, supporting the show. We'll be back next week. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Tomorrow, if you are on our Patreon at verballers.com. For that guy over there, Dan Rubenstein, I'm Ty. Talk to you next week. Stay solid.
Peace.